What's cracking? Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. A tremendous Monday to you. It is so good to be here. Back in SoCal after that New York turn. Had an amazing weekend. Not a long weekend in New York, but they never are. But an amazing weekend. And what a great NFL weekend we had. Lots to cover. Let's get at it. Program brought to you today by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. What's up, clones? Coming to the end of 2019, what do you want to hit on? A lot to get done between now and the end of the year. All right, let me start you off with the telephone number, and I'll tell you what the interviews are in just one moment. Phone lines are open, 1-800-636-8686. Call me now. The first interview is not until 40 past. I would love to get somebody in here early. 1-800-636-8686. You can follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. You know to email me also at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. I mean, damn, what an NFL weekend that was. So many good things to recap. Jeff Chidiha works for NFL Network, and he's an analyst with NFL.com as well. Jeffrey Chidiha coming up at 40 past in hour number two. Head coach of the Portland Trailblazers, Terry Stotts. And we are all set with the college football playoff and the bowl setup. Dennis Dodd joins me in hour number three. ATP on a Monday. So we got a lot of different places to go and a lot of different ways to go with it. Hit me up right now. Adam Hawk standing by, working the phones, waiting for the right call to put up. 1-800-636-8686. Now, normally on a Monday, you know how I do this. Normally the first segment on Monday during the NFL season is a recap of Sunday's games. You know, kind of like a quick whip around the league. I hit the highlights. I hit the weird moments. I hit the best moments. That is normally the format on a Monday. Today, I'm going to break format. You know, I say that sometimes. The best phone call or the first good phone call goes right to the front. I'll break format with that. I do it for you. I do it with myself. I'm going to bust the format open, and I'm going to do so for one reason and one reason only. I'm not going to go with the full roundup. I'm going to isolate one thing, and I'm doing it because of this.
Garoppolo fires. It is caught. Still on his feet is Kittle with a big play and the stiff arm. George Kittle. Flags fly. He's down to the 30. What a run by George Kittle. Taking on everybody, but the penalty is huge. There are multiple flags. It would be a 39-yarder on 4th and 2.
Personal foul, face mask, defense, number 43.
Look at the fight between the two of them. The mask is held the entire way by Marcus Williams, and Kittle refuses to go down.
This dude. Thanks to Fox for that. If you can get a guy like that, if you can get an NFL player grabbing another NFL player by the face mask and ripping him to the ground, and he still won't go down. The George Kittle play. That's the reason I'm busting open the format. That's the reason I'm not going to go NFL roundup in the opening segment, because of the George Kittle play. Like, as good as the other games were yesterday, there are no other highlights to compare to that one. If that's not the play of the year, I don't know what is. When you consider the situation and the stakes, that might not only be the play of the year, that might be the play of years, literally. 39 seconds left, 4th and 2 on their own 33. And right before the ball is snapped, Kyle Shanahan calls timeout. He changed the play. He changed it to a choice route. And it was a very good choice. Hail! Let's do that thing again. Here we go again. 39 seconds left, 4th and 2 on their own 33. I cannot get enough of this guy or this play.
Garoppolo fires. It is caught. Still on his feet is Kittle with a big play and the stiff arm. George Kittle. Flags fly. He's down to the 30. What a run by George Kittle.
This dude's a stud, man. Everything about that play is incredible. The route, the catch, the run, the fact that he had Marcus Williams attached to his face mask and he still kept on rumbling. This guy made Marcus Williams, a damn good DB, look like a bug on his windshield. Now, I tried to warn y'all about George Kittle. This guy's a monster. Guys are not supposed to be that big, that fast, that physical, that athletic, and that impossible to bring down. This guy is so good, so dangerous, and so versatile. He can dominate a game without catching a single pass. That's how good of a blocker he is. And when he does catch a pass, you better hope he runs out of bounds, because if he doesn't, somebody is going to pay a big price. I've tried to tell you about this guy. Just like I've tried to tell you for a while that the 49ers are for real. Maybe now you will believe me. They are for real. You go to Baltimore, and you come that close to winning a fight in the rain with the best team in the AFC. Then you spend a week out east. Then you go to New Orleans and deal with the number one team in the NFC in their house. That's the kind of thing that would crush most teams. Like, most teams would show up in New Orleans, a shell of themselves, after a really physical loss the week before in Baltimore. I mean, they'd be banged up, bruised up, mentally, physically, and they'd be thinking about the fact that, you know what, we've already got that wild card wrapped up, pretty much. So let's save ourselves. You know, for who, for what? Why are we going to kill ourselves against the Saints in their house when we've already got that wild card? Like, most teams would see Drew Brees and the Saints offense, Cam Jordan and the Saints defense. They'd hear that crowd. Call it a day. Check you guys next week. Mentally prepare for what's still ahead. But whatever you do, don't waste the energy necessary to beat the best team in the conference in their house after having to deal with the best team in the other conference in their house a week earlier. You know, like, for who? For what? Oh, hell nah. I don't need that. Especially after they fell behind 20-7 early in the second quarter. But then again, I have tried to tell you about these Niners. They're not just talented. They're not just well-coached. Man, they're tough as hell, mentally and physically, and they play bully ball. Going into that dome, falling behind by double digits, and you're going to come back and win? Are you serious about that? They fall behind 20-7, and on the first play of the second quarter, that's where they are. And then one play later, they're right here.
Garoppolo looking for a deep ball, going to throw one down the middle for Emmanuel Sanders. He's got it! He was knocked out. He can get up and run. He may have been touchdown. Breaks a tackle. 10-5. Touchdown, San Francisco!
49ers radio. And just to finish the thought, right? New Orleans comes back with a long TD drive. San Francisco responds with two of their own, and they take a 28-27 lead into halftime. 55 points in the first half was not exactly what people were expecting yesterday, but when you put Sean Payton and Kyle Shanahan together, they're going to take their shots, and they're going to land them. That was electric ball. The first half was already one of the best games of the entire year. It only got better, right? After Robbie Gould gave San Francisco a 5-point lead with 2:23 to go, Drew Brees went to work. And you knew how that drive would end, with the Saints in the back of the end zone.
Niners bring pressure again. Brees throws over the middle. That ball's caught. Traquan Smith at the time. Smith double tackle into the end zone. Traquan Smith! Fred Warner in coverage. They bring pressure 18 yards to Traquan Smith for the go-ahead touchdown.
Saints radio. My man's talking faster than Pete Carroll. His voice is cracking like crazy. But that was a given. As good as the Niners defense is, Brees is an absolute legend. The Niners had their chances to end it on that drive, especially with an INT, but it did not happen. And that would have been your storyline. The Niners go on the road. They play another elite team, tough as hell, but they just can't finish. The story would go that there was nothing but respect for the Niners, and maybe one of these days they finally would break through. Except yesterday was that day, and the breakthrough was the George Kittle play. George Kittle v. the Saints secondary. Have you seen this play?
Garoppolo fires. It is caught. Still on his feet is Kittle with a big play and the stiff arm. George Kittle, flags fly. He's down to the 30. What a run by George Kittle.
If it sounds like I'm spending a lot of time on this game, if it sounds like I'm spending a lot of time on that play, it's because I am. It was macho. Here's what Kittle himself had to say after the game.
Like my tight end coach always says, don't let one guy tackle you. Now that was my mindset. You know, just try to run through him, try to carry him as far as I can.
By the end of that run, it was no longer a run. That was a street fight. That was a mugging where three dudes jumped George Kittle in an alley. And somehow they came out of that brawl looking the worst of it. Much worse. 39 yards. 4th and 2, plus more for the face mask. And it'll come as no surprise that Kittle was not at all bothered by that face mask. He told Peter King, quote, "I knew he'd get flagged for it, so I was actually happy. It just meant 15 more yards for us." And it should come as no surprise that the rest of the 49ers saw that. The team itself, they saw that play, and they were going insane. Listen to Richard Sherman.
A lot of people just go down and complain about the face mask pool. He's like, regardless of the face mask pool, I'm going to bully you all the way to the end zone until you stop me. And that's his mindset. And, you know, we're thankful to have him because we don't win that game without that play.
I don't know. When Sherm talks, and I don't know about you, but when Sherm talks, I listen every single time. That was a statement play for Kittle and the Niners. Again, on the road, in the loudest environment possible. Possible. With a potential one seed in the NFC on the line. And they come up with that play on fourth down, and then they finally win it on this.
Here's your football game. High snap. Wisnowski got it down. Robbie Gould's kick is good! Robbie Gould beats the New Orleans Saints at the gun!
That was not only the football game. That may have been the entire season. Like, bully you into the end zone or until you stop me is the perfect description, because Kittle was looking to make guys pay. And the Niners made the Saints pay. So, that was Kyle Shanahan going up against one of the greatest offensive minds ever in Sean Payton and winning. That was Jimmy Garoppolo going up against one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, Drew Brees, and winning. Yeah, now would be a pretty good time for you clones to stop glossing him Jimmy Gigolo. Jimmy G, man. Jimmy Garoppolo. Get that name right. I've got thoughts on him, too. Remember what he looked like in the preseason. Remember all you 49er fans freaking out about how he looked in the preseason, and now look at him. Look how well he's playing right now. So every question you had about him, and mostly every question you had about the Niners, should have been answered a long time ago, but if they weren't, they should be now after what happened. They're not just going to beat you with crazy schemes. They're going to beat you down with their physicality and their mental toughness. Finally, Kittle had this to say, and I mentioned this on the NFL on CBS. I said, this phrase is thrown around quite a bit, but Kyle Shanahan really is a genius. This guy literally is a genius. Kittle had this to say about his head coach.
You know, one thing Coach Shanahan always says, don't let the bear loose in the building, kind of like the semi-pro thing. So no matter what happens, just keep calm, cool, collected, and just ride the wave. And I think that we did really good that. No matter the ups and downs, we just kept going.
At the risk of twisting that metaphor into something totally different, the bear was loose in the building, rocking an 85 jersey and mauling people. And it was awesome. And back to my point about how that might have been more than one game. I'm not about that hot take life. I'm just not. So keep that in mind when you hear what I'm about to tell you. That Kittle play may have just won the Niners the Super Bowl. May have. 1-800-636-8686. Damn, Rome. Fired up much about the Niners? I am. That was an awesome game. An awesome win. And I haven't even gotten to my NFL rundown the way I normally start Mondays off because I wanted to hit on that game in its entirety. I will hit the NFL recap and the NFL rundown a little bit later on. And I do want to talk more about Garoppolo and whether or not you can trust him now. Bills Mafia, you gave it a good look, right? Nothing to be ashamed of. Patriots. Beaten and jammed hard by the refs. I want to get into that. Russia, still cheating, still getting caught. Nothing has changed, apparently. I've got that story for you, too, a little bit later on. Speaking of cheating, you check out Patrick Reed? Patty Reed cheats, allegedly. Almost certainly, pretty much he does. I've got that for you, too. 1-800-636-8686. What I don't have is a good call on hold. I wouldn't mind seeing that. Jeffrey Chidiha coming up at 40 past. Terry Stotts next hour. Dennis Dodd, now number three. It's definitely hit. Championship week. Recap college football. All that coming up. So it's the holiday season. Are you looking for the perfect gift? Then look no further than Untuck It, the original Untuck shirt. It's hard to find a shirt that looks good untucked. That's because they were never meant to be worn that way. Untucked shirts were designed to be worn untucked, so they fall at just the right length. They always look sharp, and not only do they look good, but they feel amazing. Did you know that Untucked has more than 50 fits? That way, tall, short, slim, and athletic guys of all ages will love the fit of Untucked shirts. Try some bestsellers like the wrinkle-free button-downs, the super soft flannels, the all-new outerwear, and more. Get 20% off your first purchase when you use the code ROME at Untucked.com or at 80 Untucked stores. So if you're looking for the perfect gift for everybody on your list, look no further than Untucked, the original Untucked shirt. Use the code ROME for 20% off your first purchase. Untucked.com, your solution to perfecting casual. That's Untucked.com, code name ROME.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Man, such a good Monday. Such a good Monday because the NFL weekend was amazing. College football playoff is set. Bowl schedule is set. I was in New York over the weekend, had a great time, not only being on the NFL and CBS, but also I sat with Amy Trask on Tops. Had a great time doing that too. Monday is an ATP day, as a reminder. Ask the pros. You want to get a question to me at cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Listen later on. I might answer yours. And in the meantime, you want to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Once again, like, I don't want to be super formulaic. I don't want to be super predictable, but Monday morning, I look forward to coming in here every single time so I can do that NFL recap. But when I saw Kittle go Kittle the way he did, I knew right then and there, I'm going to bust that format out. You can't make that part of the rundown or even make that a take onto itself and then move it later into the program. You got to lead the show with a play like that, a win like that. Had to do it. I've got Jeffrey Chidiha coming up next segment, so let's get some phone calls in here right now. 1-800-636-8686. Let's start in the Bay Area. Mark in San Francisco. You're first up. What's going on, Mark? How are you?
Right on, my man. How are you today, Jim?
Good. Great. Great.
I want to thank you, first of all, for giving my Niner Nation so much love, because as a long-suffering fan, yesterday was truly golden. And seeing a Kittle in that fist fight down the sideline and me wondering to myself, how the hell does a defensive back with that much experience drag a guy for 20 yards and not get suspended? It's like he just had him by the face. And I was just I had lost my voice. And the first thing I thought of is I can't wait to listen to Jim Rome tomorrow because I know he is going to rip on this in a big way. And Niner Nation just represented. The French Quarter looked like a home game last night. And I was just so proud of this team and so proud of these fans. I'm just very hopeful for the first time in a long time. It looks like they may be hoisting the trophy in January.
They might. Like, Mark, I appreciate you. There's a lot of work to be done. And as I mentioned, I don't reside in Hot Take Nation. So I want to be very careful. Like, I don't say these things, just say these things, because I know they come back. I know the internet's in ink. So I want to be very careful when I say that. But they may have won the Super Bowl with that play. Maybe. Because maybe they don't have to go back to New Orleans. Maybe New Orleans has to go on the road. Now, even if New Orleans has to go on the road, Drew Brees looked awesome. That's the best he's looked. He looked like the old Drew Brees, except the Saints are not the same team on the road regardless. And I got to admit, I never would have thought that anybody would put 40-plus up on that Niner defense. But they did what they had to do. That's not just your, like, typical West Coast offense, finesse, nuance. Man, they'll punch you in the face now. They will beat you down. That is a physical, physical Niner team. And they're skilled. And they're extremely well coached. And that's a Niner fan saying, I've waited a long time for this. Yeah, I feel you. I feel you. How about this email? Rome, did you say macho? You want to talk macho? Did you see the way Beeks showed up in Saudi Arabia on Saturday? Talk about a gut. Guts. What heart from the Jungle Brethren. Going the distance with Anthony Joshua. My dude. Fly back safely. Signed Andy in Denver. War Horseface. Finally finding a quarterback in the Mile High City. Welcome to the Drew Lock era.
Hey, John. Time to meet Mr. Rome. Giddy up, Horseface.
Hey, Andy, I think that you're confusing Beeks with Andy Ruiz. Come on, jerk. That wasn't Beeks in Saudi Arabia. That was an out-of-shape boxer who did not take his job seriously enough. He said it afterwards. Ruiz, after getting dominated for the entire fight by Joshua, said afterwards, you know what? I probably didn't prepare properly. I probably didn't put in enough time. I probably didn't do the work. Yeah, no kidding. But again, that doesn't make him Beeks. That was not Beeks. Beeks in Studio City. Not Beeks in Saudi Arabia, jerk. I don't know what Beeks did this weekend, but I know he wasn't getting his face beaten in by Anthony Joshua. I know that. He knew there was an issue, right? When Ruiz's trainer felt that he came in too heavy for the first fight, and then he came in 15 pounds heavier for the rematch, and Joshua came in lighter, he knew that was not going to go his way. Any of you see that fight? Any of you hit that fight? Any of you get down? 1-800-636-8686. Man, the NFL, you just do not know week to week what's going to happen. Anything can happen, and it always does. You never know week to week. Let's go to Houston. Jerome in Houston. Jerome, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing, Rome? Thanks for the vine. Appreciate it. Texans were so bad, I kind of have to laugh. It was so amusing, almost. Devastating, yet amusing. And I could go on for hours about all the disgusting things I saw in that game yesterday. But the one I'm most concerned about, the one that really gets me is I really feel for this Texans team. Okay, what they did, they got up in the morning and they did the following. They went to the facility. They got their workout clothes on, went out, ran around, jogged around, stretched, did all that for an hour or so. Then they go back into the locker room. Then they get the gamers on. They come out, they warm up, do some hitting, do some drills and all that. All right, and then it gets close to game time, and they didn't show up. So I feel bad for these guys because if they were not going to show up, why not just stay home? It was 73 degrees, sunshine, blue skies. Everyone in the neighborhood is barbecuing. If you're not going to show up, why hurt yourself and go through all that preparation? Just stay home and barbecue like this. Oh, barbecue. Do, 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 do. Oh, barbecue.
Do. That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
My man, Jerome, like, I was feeling you for a minute. I kind of like that whole deadpan thing. And I was curious to see where you were going to spin that tail to, where we were going to end up. But that was a really, really long setup for a really, really poor payoff. But you're right, they did no-show. Well, you come off that win over to the Patriots. You come off that game and you show up like that. Lie down like that. But again, that's the point that I'm trying to make about the NFL. You just don't know week to week. Some really weird things happen that every single week that you could never predict or never expect. Like, how about the Rams? Not dead, can't quit. The epitome of not dead, can't quit, because they looked dead a few weeks back. I did not expect to see what I saw last night. Obviously, you would know that if you saw me on the NFL on CBS, because I was hyping Seattle. Thanks for nothing, Seattle. But credit the Rams. They're still alive. I'm not sure they get in, but they're still alive. And if they do get in, that's not somebody you want to mess with. I mean, they're not like San Francisco scary, but I would not want any part of the Rams right about now. Not the way they're playing, if in fact they get in. Then you got the Monday night matchup tonight, right? Philly and New York. Again, if they didn't pay me to watch that game, I wouldn't. But I will, because they do. Jeffrey Chidiha joins me next segment. Anybody else want to come in? 1-800-636-8686. Maybe that's why I didn't hear from the Bills Mafia all last week, except late from Rick in Buffalo. They had a look at that thing late. They did. Patrick Reed cheats. Yeah, I know. Tell you something you didn't already know. Got thoughts on that? Russia cheats. Oh, yeah, I know. Tell me something that you did not already know. All right, maybe I will right here. Here's a sports update for you.
Live from Southern California, This is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Again, today is a really, really good day to get after it. So get on the phone, hit me up, shoot me an email, hit me up on Twitter, whatever it takes. But today is a really good day, strong day. I've got Terry Stotts coming up next hour. He's the head coach of the Blazers. Dennis Dodd, now number three. But we're joined right now by a good friend of ours, good friend of the program. He is an NFL.com senior columnist. He is an NFL Network on-air talent. He is a Sports Emmy Award winner. He is Jeffrey Chidiha. Jeff, what's going on? How are you?
I'm doing well, Jim. How about yourself?
Good, really good. Jeff, great to have you back. Let me start you off with the Chiefs, because last week you were in Kansas City for the game against Oakland, and for a while now, Jeff, people around KC have been talking about the potential of the Chiefs' defense. Are you starting to see that become a reality? How do they look to you defensively?
It looked good right now, and you look the way they played against the Patriots yesterday. Granted, the Patriots' offense has its own issues, but this defense is realizing that they don't have to play second fiddle to the Chiefs' offense. In the last three games, the Chiefs have all won those games, with their offense not playing at the level they're used to. But you've seen that defense make a lot of plays, and you saw it against Tom Brady again yesterday, including Rashard Breeland having a big game, the pass breakup at the end, and the big interception. So if that defense is playing the way they are, and they still got Patrick Mahomes playing quarterback, they look pretty good coming playoff time.
All right, so there's a lot of good stuff in there that I want to get to, but let me ask you about Tyrann Mathieu. He's long been, Jeff, one of my favorite guys to talk to. When you talk to guys around him, what kind of an impact has he had on that defense?
Well, it's the same impact that he had when he was in Arizona and in Houston. You talk to people in those teams, they talk about just the leadership he brings and the instincts and the intangibles. And he's had a huge impact on Juan Thornhill, their rookie safety. I think he's made life easier for their cornerbacks, and that was a big issue coming into the season for this team, how they were going to play at that position. And they've been pretty steady back there. And he's also helped Steve Spagnuolo probably implement this new defense with six new starters. So just being a calming presence back there has been a huge impact for this team.
Jeffrey Chidiha is joining us. All right, Jeff, what about the offense? Patrick Mahomes went into yesterday with 20 touchdown passes, only two INTs, but still it seems like there were some questions surrounding the offense. How concerned were people around the team about the offense?
Well, they'll tell you they're not concerned about it because they believe in the potential and the talent, but you know, outside of the team, you're seeing some cracks in that armor. It's not the same offense it was last year, even at the start of this year, where they had so many weapons. They've had a lot of injuries, especially on the offensive line. They haven't had Tyreek Hill all season long. Sammy Watkins has been in and out. Running backs been banged up. So they're really relying heavily on Mahomes, Travis Kelce, and Tyreek Hill. And when they can get somebody else to step up, as they did yesterday with Mecole Hardman having a big touchdown catch, that's a big boost for this offense. But, yeah, they're not the same level they were, but still very dangerous.
We're talking to Jeffrey Chidiha. You know, Foxborough, obviously, Jeff, is a nearly impossible place to get a win. So how big was that win just from a psychological standpoint for Kansas City?
Yeah, it's like what's the place that Jason Bourne was created, Treadstone? That's
right.
What Foxborough feels like. They got all kinds of stuff happening down in there. You just can't really understand. But very impressive win. Like they've won 21 straight games there. And to be honest, winning in December there is even harder to do because that hadn't happened to them, losing a game since 2015. So for the Chiefs to get this win, I think it was more important for their confidence. The takeaway here is that both these teams are still chasing Baltimore. They are the cream of the crop right now in the NFL. But to win in Foxborough, the Chiefs know that gives them a pretty good leg up if they have to go back there and play to get to the AFC Championship game. Because right now they know they can go in there and they're not going to be awed by it.
Jeffrey Chidiha joins us. All right, so where does that lead them overall? For instance, Kansas City, Jeff, has won three straight. They have not allowed more than 17 points in any of those games. So when you look at Kansas City as a whole, both offensively and defensively, how do you think this year's team compares to last year's?
Well, I think they're a more complete team. They're not as explosive and not as reliant on their offense as they were last year, but that speaks to their defensive improvements. And they've shown a lot more. But they're a mentally tough team. They've shown a lot more character in terms of being able to fight through things, through adversity. They didn't have Mahomes for two games. They beat the Vikings. They went down, lost, I think, three or four games out of six. They've been able to come back and get on a win streak here. It shows that they're a little bit tougher. And that's going to help them again come postseason.
All right, so what about New England? Where does that leave them? For instance, how worried would you be right now about that offense and the fact that they really don't scare or intimidate anybody, at least not offensively?
Well, I'd be frightened if I was them right now, because when you're calling out trick plays in the first quarter to get points on the board, that's not a good sign of how you feel about what you have on the field or on your roster offensively. And we've seen this before from Bill Belichick, where I can think back a few years ago when he let Chandler Jones go and Jamie Collins, and the feeling was, hey, we don't need to have Pro Bowl caliber guys around here. We got our scheme. We got time. We can do all these things. Well, I bet they wish they had Demaryius Thomas right now. And I bet they wish they had Josh Gordon right now. And as big of a headache as Antonio Brown is, I bet they'd find a way to love him up if he was still on the roster. I don't think he's coming back, but they have to find some way to win on the outside, have to find some way to run the football. And they have to use the guys they have. I don't understand why Sony Michel is not a bigger part of this offense, because he's one of their best players right now.
We're talking to Jeffrey Chidiha. You know, then having said all that, I agree with you, but it feels like we've been down this road before, right? That they're not firing on all cylinders, but then you get to December and then you get to January and they find a way to win. But is this time different?
It feels different just because of we're so deep into the season, and they haven't beaten a team that's in that top four in the AFC. They've lost to the Ravens. They've lost to the Patriots. I mean, they lost to the Chiefs and they've lost to the Texans. But I agree with you. I feel like a lot of time with this team, Belichick and his staff, it's more tinkering and it's more experimenting than it is worrying about who wins where. And even this time last year, I think a lot of people were off this bandwagon and feeling like they were done. They got on a roll. I don't think it's going to happen this year, because I think Baltimore is a much better team and they have to go to their play. But, yeah, they're more vulnerable than they've ever been.
Jeffrey Chidiha breaking it down for us. All right, you mentioned Baltimore, so let me ask you this. You had a great video piece on Marcus Peters a few years back. For those who have never spent time with him, Jeff, how would you describe Peters?
He's a very unique individual. I think he's a misunderstood guy. I think he's intense, and I think he cares about playing football. He loves playing football. When he's with the Chiefs, he got sideways with them because he just couldn't control his temper and his frustrations. And a lot of that had to do, to be honest with you, with their defensive struggles. I think he didn't like what they were doing defensively. Right now, I think he's in the best place he could ever be in the NFL, because with the Ravens, you have a coach who understands him. You have a lot of big personalities. You have a comfort level with his kind of personality. And he's in a contract year. And so he's playing his best ball right now. He's been a big factor in what they've done defensively. People, as much as they talk about Lamar Jackson, that defense has been probably the second or third best defense in the NFL since he showed up, and he's a big part of that.
You guys made so many plays, and I don't even need to ask you if you're surprised by what you see, because I know you're not, knowing what he's capable of. Now, Baltimore did beat Buffalo yesterday in a game where Lamar Jackson and the offense did not completely destroy an opponent, but that does not mean that he had a quiet game by any stretch. It wasn't a blowout where he's sitting down in the fourth quarter, but when you look at Baltimore's offense and their defense, I mean, really, what is their upside? How special is this team?
Well, I saw them play against the Texans when they killed the Texans a few weeks back, and I really they were the best team in the NFL then. And a lot of people said, oh, best team in the AFC. They're Niners, Saints, everybody. I said, look, you get around these guys, you get in their locker room, you see them after games, you see their chemistry, you see their confidence, you see their belief. It's like the Seahawks a few years ago when they got on that roll under Pete Carroll with that defense and Marshawn Lynch. It's just there's something about being around certain teams where you just know they know they're the best team. They've got the best chemistry and the best belief. And it's hard to see them losing because they can play their style of football anywhere they go. And that's hard to deal with.
In terms of hard to see them losing, I mean, they haven't lost since September. Yeah. They close out the season with the Jets on Thursday night, and then they follow that up with a game at Cleveland and a home game against Pittsburgh. So it's not outside the realm of possibility that they go into the playoffs on a 12-game win streak. Jeff, just over a year ago, it looked like John Harbaugh would be done in Baltimore. How do you explain that kind of turnaround?
Well, first, hats off to John Harbaugh, who I think is one of the most underrated coaches in the NFL. He's probably one of the top three coaches in football and doesn't get enough credit. But I believe it's two things. I think it's him, and I think it's Lamar Jackson. And not just the way Lamar Jackson plays, but the person he is. And I saw this with Mahomes last year in Kansas City. It's just these guys want to play for him because he's putting his body on the line. He's a humble guy. Not there taking selfies with the fans when the game's closing out. He's not out there saying crazy stuff in the press conferences. He cares about winning. He cares about his team. And that team cares about building him up, because I think they all remember what it was like when he came into the NFL and people were dogging him and saying he should be a receiver. So I think just that alone, that factor of being counted out, discarded, that stuff all plays well in football.
That stuff does play well. And he, Jeff, he's about the right stuff. I mean, to your point about he's not at the end of the game taking a selfie with the fans. Man, this guy's all ball. This guy is about football. So when you take a step back before I let you go, and you look at the NFC, you've got Green Bay, Seattle, and New Orleans all at 10-3. You've got the 49ers at 11-2. How big then was that 49er win in New Orleans yesterday?
No, it was massive, and that was the best game of the year, and it felt like the whole day was a playoff-type atmosphere with the Ravens and Bills, this game, the Patriots and Chiefs. But watching that game and watching them be down, it's almost like you forget they were down in that game by a couple scores early.
Right.
It looked like folks felt like Saints were going to pull away with it, and, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo's taking some heat for being inconsistent at times. Richard Sherman went down in that game, but they find ways to make plays, and, you know, I felt like a couple of weeks ago when I watched them play the Ravens, that was a Super Bowl. I'm sticking with that right now. Those are the two best teams in football. I mean, it's hard to see the Niners losing in the NFC now.
He is an NFL.com senior columnist and NFL Network on-air talent. He is a Sports Emmy Award winner and a very good friend of the program. Jeffrey, good to have you back. Thanks so much, Jeff. I appreciate it.
Always fun, Jim. Thank you.
You too, Jeff. Great job. Jeffrey Chidiha is like one of the coolest dudes. Used to love having him on our daily TV show. Great guy to be around. Really, really good at his job, too. All right, 1-800-636-8686. He touched on a few things that I want to cover in my rundown, especially about Marcus Peters and what a difference he's made for that defense. So now, where does that leave you? You've got the Ravens on top in the AFC. In terms of the Patriots, and I've done this myself, I've thrown dirt on these guys in the past when I thought they were done, and then they weren't. And then they show up in December and January, and they do what they do. But is it different this year? It certainly feels a little different. I'm not going to bury these guys, and I'm not going to leave them for dead because I've done it before and gotten burned. But it feels a little bit different, doesn't it? Except I've done it before and gotten burned. He's got a good point, though. If they're going with gadget plays and gimmick plays early in the game, you're pretty much telling everybody we don't have confidence in our offense. So I'm going to run down the entire NFL weekend. It was a great weekend. Phone lines are open right now, 1-800-636-8686. What? That's the short version of the Hawk Sounder. Adam Hawk just came in studio. You got to get through him to get to me. You got to get through him to get to me on the phones and with the email. This guy made it through somehow. Hey, Rome, did that bag Niners fan just say that he was, quote, long-suffering?
Thank you, first of all, for giving my Niner Nation so much love, because as a long-suffering fan.
Rome, this is why the rest of us hate you, Niner fan. You snack on your wine and your cheese, nowhere to be found when your team is down. Now that you're relevant again, you complain that you're, quote, long-suffering. You a-holes were just in the Super Bowl in 2013. You bags dominated the 80s and half the 90s. Stop giving us more reasons to hate you. Regards, fans of the Bengals, Dolphins, Chargers, Raiders, Redskins, Lions, and Jets. Dan in Richmond. Mark in San Francisco was the caller. He said, we're long-suffering, but thanks for the love.
Long-suffering fan.
Well, they were in the Super Bowl not that long ago, but then they kind of fell off a cliff. But now they're back, and they may, in fact, be the team to beat. Like I said, I don't want to go all hot take on anybody, but not only did they win that game, they may have won the Super Bowl with that play by George Kittle. Or maybe not. Man, this guy's a stud. You've got one guy grabbing at his face mask, trying to put him in the ground. And he just bullies his way towards the end zone. Terry Stotts, next hour. My rundown for the weekend when we come back.